the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Icarus in a Wheelchair by Virginia Mazur, is based in part on an unpublished manuscript, Companion in Flight, by Mrs. Eva Frost.
Doctor, tell me the truth. I can take it.
Patient suffering from spinal cord injury at level of C4.
Will I ever be a normal human being again?
Paralysis of both lower extremities. Partial paralysis of upper extremities. In addition to motor and sensory paralysis. Complete sphincter paralysis. An impairment of bowel and sexual function.
Give it to me straight. Will I ever be like everybody else?
Once you had that dubious distinction, David Stern. The year your country called you into service, you were very much like everybody else. Today, you belong to the wheelchair battalion. You are one of the thousands of nameless, faceless, paralyzed veterans of World War II who, unremarked by most of us, fight a day-by-day, hour-by-hour private battle with pain, despair, frustration. This is your story. A true story. At least, as much of the truth as the rest of us would choose to hear.
Doctor, tell me the truth. Will I ever be a normal human being again? Will I ever be like everybody else?
Your mother has a snapshot of you taken the week before you went into the service. You were 22, but you stood half a head taller than your father. They were proud of you because you were so tall, because you were their son, because everything about you was so normal. You liked jazz, dancing, the movies, baseball. You had a crew cut, a car, and a girl. And you had what all the mother's sons had, too. A profound belief in your own invulnerability. The night before you left for your training base, you and Millie, your girl, went to the movies. Then you parked your old jalopy in front of her apartment building.
I wish I could afford to buy you a ring.
I'd like a ring, but I guess it doesn't really matter. We know it's for real.
Oh, you can say that again. Millie, I wish we were married right now, tonight.
So do I.
I'll tell you one thing. As soon as I get my wings, I'm coming back and marry you. Before they ship us out, we're going to get married. Nothing's going to stop us. You hear me?
And so you went into the wild blue yonder, unthinking, unafraid. What was there to be afraid of? The sky was a round blue pond, like the summer ponds of your childhood. You sailed it as you sailed your little boats. The sky was the great western plain, and you rode it like a cowboy with a swagger.
Look, Mom, I'm flying.
The sky was the floor of heaven, and you walked it pridefully, one of the elect.
Look, Millie, the evening star, big as a diamond in Tiffany's window, and I'm going to send it to you for a wedding ring.
Take care, child of Icarus. You have overreached yourself. As you plummet downward like a blazing star, you know that the earth, not the sky, is your home.
Flight 38, ready for departure, gate 14. Flight 38, ready for departure, gate 14.
They sent for your mother to come, and she took the first plane south. To a south where overnight war had transformed cotton fields into flying fields and runways. All the way she clutched the telegram in her hand, the letters squirming like snakes before her eyes. At Atlanta, she changed planes, and a voice spoke to her out of the void.
Drink it. You'll feel better. It's hot.
What is it? What is it you want me to do?
It's coffee. I told them cream and no sugar. That's the way I like it.
That's the way I like it, too.
Mm-hmm. Be careful. It's hot. I'm sorry I startled you a minute ago.
I just wasn't aware anyone was sitting beside me.
I got on at Florence. I would have taken another seat, but there wasn't one.
It's all right. You're in the Army, too, aren't you?
That's right.
And you're a major. You see, I've learned all the insignia. No, I haven't. What's that other little thing on your lapel?
A caduceus. I'm a doctor.
You look so young.
Is it your son?
How did you know?
The telegram, maybe. Or maybe the way you look. One senses these things. I'm in trouble, too.
Tell me.
My wife, she was going to have a baby. They sent for me. The baby, it lived for a few hours, then it died.
Oh. Was it the baby a boy or a girl?
A boy.
I don't know what to expect. They said injured. Seriously injured.
I see. Looks like we're coming in for a landing. You'd better tighten your seatbelt.
Yes, I'll tighten my seatbelt.
He's conscious, Mrs. Stern. He's been waiting for you to come. Now, try not to upset him. He's there in the third bed on the left.
Thank you, nurse.
Good luck.
David? It's Mother. David? Davy, my son.
Hi, Mom. I've been waiting for you.
Oh, what have they done to you? Are you all right? Are you in pain?
No pain, Mama. I can't feel anything. Anything at all. I can't move my legs. I can't move my arms. It's like I'd been turned into stone. Mom, tell me the truth. I can take it. What's wrong with me?
Nurse, tell me the truth. What's wrong with him?
Mrs. Stern, the doctor will be here any minute. This is his office. He's on his way. He knows you're here.
But he will get well, won't he?
Now, please let the doctor tell you. He's coming. Oh, here he is now. Dr. Dana, this is Cadet Stern's mother.
Stern and I don't need an introduction.
It's you.
We met last night on the plane.
Oh, well, imagine.
Yes.
Well, if you don't need me, Doctor, I'll just go back to the ward.
I had a hunch on the plane you might be his mother. I hoped I was wrong. You see, they brought David in just a few hours before I got the call to go home. I knew what the score was.
He's going to...
Die? No. At this point, we all feel pretty certain he'll pull through.
Oh, thank God.
When your son crashed, Mrs. Stern, his spinal cord was severed. Now, when the injury to the cord is at the lumbar level, paralysis of the lower limbs is the result. Paraplegia, we call it. But when the injury occurs at the cervical level, the upper extremities are affected as well. We call that quadriplegia.
David. What about David? Where was he hurt?
His injury is at the cervical level.
That means...
Both his arms and legs are paralyzed.
I see. But he'll get over it, won't he, Doctor? I mean, there was this little girl in our building. She had polio. She was paralyzed. She got better. She got so she could walk around. Doctor, tell me the truth.
You're a very brave woman, Mrs. Stern.
Tell me.
This is the truth as far as we know it. Some spinal injuries are not complete, and in time there may be some return of function. But when the cord is completely severed, it will not grow together again, and no technique known to date has been developed that will make it heal and function. This, we believe, to be the case with your son.
I see. What you're saying? You're saying he's not going to get well, ever. You're saying that for the rest of his life, he's going to be a hopeless cripple.
A cripple? Yes. Hopeless? That depends.
On what?
On him.
So that's it. It's not shock.
I'm paralyzed.
You asked for the truth, David. I respected you for it.
I can take it. Will I ever be a normal human being again, like everybody else?
Medical science can do a lot for you. In the past 20 years, we've taken giant steps in treating paraplegia and quadriplegia. In World War I, 400 men got spinal cord injuries. Almost to a man, they died from kidney infection, pneumonia, pressure sores. Today, thanks to antibiotics, the picture is very different. Today, over 90% of the paraplegics are saved.
Saved? Saved for what?
The answer to that is not in my book. The answer is in you. But this I believe. A man is more than a set of reflexes, a mechanical contrivance, an automaton.
What is a man? What is man, O Lord, that thou art mindful of him? You lie on your back and stare at a crack in the ceiling, inert, motionless, heavy as a stone. What is a man? Faces bend over you.
How are you feeling today?
How are you feeling? How are you feeling?
In the beginning, all was darkness and void. You're back at the beginning. They come at regular intervals to wash you, to turn you, to change you, to feed you.
Open your mouth, please. You must eat, David. It's soup. It's good. Swallow it.
What is a man? Is he forever a question? Or is he both the question and the answer, the proposition and the proof, the measure and the means?
Nurse? Nurse? Help me, I want to sit up. I want to try to sit up.
It's good to see you sitting up.
Feels good just to look out the window. You know, I never really looked at a tree before.
David, we were talking about you at staff meeting this morning. As soon as you're a little stronger, we're sending you back east.
Home?
No, you're not ready for that yet. We'll send you to a VA hospital near your home, where you can see your family, your friends. What's wrong? What did I say?
I just remembered. I had a dream last night. I was walking, like anybody else. It was dark, like a tunnel. But at the end of the tunnel was light. I kept walking toward the light faster and faster. Then I saw that the light was Millie. I reached out my arms to her. Then I fell.
Millie? She's your girl, isn't she?
We were going to be married. She keeps writing. But I don't think she understands about me. You see, Doctor, what she likes is to dance, kid around. She hates anything that's serious. Anything ugly.
What are you saying, David? That you're afraid to go home?
In every hospital ward, there's a fraternity. You wear no badges, but you know each other as brothers. In the paraplegic ward of the VA hospital where they sent you next, you became a member of C4. You learned the lingo. Anybody not in a wheelchair was a pedestrian. You shared its banter and its bull sessions, its triumphs and its failures.
Hey, he's been doing fine with his braces. Then this morning, all of a sudden, his legs just buckled under him. And there he was, lying on the floor, bawling like a baby.
It could happen to anybody.
Well, I heard about this fellow that drove all the way from here to California in a car. By himself, too.
Oh, when I get out of here, I got it all figured out. I'm going to buy myself a little cabin cruiser. Man, that's the life. Cruising up and down Long Island Sound in the sunshine, a case of ice-cold beer in the hold.
Where does that lead you? I'm going to go back to school. I couldn't afford college before, but now with what the government pays us, I can study to be a teacher or a writer, something like that.
Sure, with these new electric typewriters they got, anybody can be a writer. Nothing to it.
In a way, we're lucky, you know. I know this guy, a civilian. He was in an auto smash-up. Before Pearl Harbor, it was. He doesn't get a red cent, and he can't even scratch his own nose. His mother has to take care of him.
There's always somebody worse off than you are, I guess.
Sure, all you gotta do is look around you.
Reminds me of a joke. There's this fellow who's a paraplegic, see? As if that's not enough trouble, he's blind, too. Well, one day he hears the Yankees are looking for a third baseman. So he gets in his wheelchair and goes down to see him. They tell him, sorry, nothing doing. And he gets mad. What's the matter? You don't like me because I come from Brooklyn?
But always, like a dark shadow below the surface of your mind, is the question, what is a man?
Will I ever be a normal human being again? Will I ever be like everybody else?
Don't depress yourself. It's a good lunch today. You will enjoy it more if you feed yourself.
You know I can't feed myself.
Try it. Take the fork in your hand, like so.
My hands are too weak.
Try it.
Look, will you let me alone? I tell you, I can't do it.
We can always do more than we think we can.
Her name was Anna Mahler. She was a nurse's aide, and she, too, belonged to the fraternity of Ward C4. Under her calm, her strength, you sensed that she also was a veteran. Somewhere, sometime, she had met the enemy face to face.
Congratulations.
Who, me? What about?
Your braces. I heard you stood up this morning.
Yeah, with somebody on either side of me holding me up.
You stood up on your own 2 feet. Now, here's your lunch. I will cut your meat for you. But soon, even that you will do for yourself.
Yeah, what makes you so sure?
We can always do more than we think we can. There now. Enjoy it.
Wait. Don't go. Talk to me. Ever since you came on this ward, I've wondered about you. Tell me about yourself.
Oh, it's not professional.
You're a refugee, I know that.
Eat your lunch.
And you're married. It says so on your uniform. Mrs. Anna Mahler. Is your husband here with you?
My husband is dead. My mother also. And my father. I escaped.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been so nosy.
Oh, never mind.
Then you're all alone here, aren't you?
No, not alone. I have a little boy, Pauli. I am one of the lucky ones. Now, no more questions. You are making me break the rules.
Look at him. All spruced up.
I gave him a shave with my electric razor.
Hey, where you going, Dave? Store club?
His girl's coming to see him this afternoon.
I didn't know he had a girl. Hey, where you been keeping it, Dave? In your locker?
Way off. Can't you see he's nervous? He hasn't seen her for over a year.
Well, who wouldn't be nervous? Hey, you know, that reminds me. Yeah, I know this guy, see? He's engaged to this girl. Well, that's before he went into the service. Well, she lives out on Staten Island, and he lived in the Bronx. And twice a week, he'd take the subway all the way down the south.
I'll wheel you over by the window. The sunshine feels very good today.
Thanks, Anna. I mean, Mrs. Mahler.
Oh, you look very fine. I hear you expect company.
My girl. She ought to be here any minute. I told her 3 o'clock.
Why did she never come before? Oh, no, I should not have said that.
Oh, it's all right. She wanted to come. It was me. I didn't want her to see me. Not until I felt more like myself.
I understand. Good luck.
Don't go.
Don't be afraid.
What time is it?
3 o'clock. Oh, no, no. 1 minute past.
Anna. Anna. There she is.
It was like the dream. The dream where you were walking. You were in this dark tunnel, and at one end of the tunnel was light. But it wasn't a dream. Millie was standing in the door of the ward in the sunshine. She had on a light blue dress that matched her eyes and a bright, painted-on smile. She was coming toward you on those crazy high-heeled shoes she always wore. She was the light. With all your strength, you tried to reach out your arms to her. But she drew back, her face crumpled like a child's.
Oh, David. I can't bear it. I didn't know. He tried to tell me, but...
Poor old Millie. Poor old silly Millie.
Please excuse me for crying. I know I shouldn't be crying. You're the one.
Oh, it's all right.
I can't bear it. I just can't bear it. I feel so sorry for you.
Millie, do me a favor. Please go home.
You're angry with me. Well, I can't help it. I just feel so sorry.
Millie.
I feel so sorry for you.
Millie, go. Go home to your mother.
All right, David. If that's the way you want it.
Mrs. Mahler. Mrs. Mahler. Anna, where are you? I need you.
Here I am. What can I do for you?
My bed. Please wheel me back to my bed.
Yes, I'll wheel you. But one day soon, I think you will be able to wheel yourself.
What is a man? What is man, O Lord, that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou thinkest of him? One day, a long time after Millie, you know, a long time after months of trial and error, private pain and public defeat, you know, man is both the question and the answer, the proposition and the proof, the measure of the now, the means toward the then. Thou hast made him but a little lower than the angels.
I've come to say goodbye, Anna.
David, how did you get down here to the chart room?
Well, how do you think? I wheeled myself.
I told you.
Yeah, I know. We can always do more than we think we can. Anna, I'm going home.
So?
My mother came this morning to drive me home. You know my mother, don't you?
How do you do, Mrs. Stern?
I want to thank you. You've been very good to my son. You've helped him.
Mother, look, I'll meet you at the elevator. I want to talk to Mrs. Mahler a minute.
Are you sure you can manage by yourself?
Oh, yes, I can manage.
Goodbye, Mrs. Mahler.
Well, goodbye.
I'll wait for you, David, at the elevator.
Anna.
Yes?
Anna... Something started between us. It's not finished.
Give it time, David. It will grow.
You know all there is to know about me. You know I'll never stand on my own 2 feet, walk around. You know I'll never be like everybody else.
Nobody, David. Nobody is like everybody else.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Mr. Robert Frost, president of the 52 Association of New York. Mr. Frost.
The story of David Stern illustrates, once again, that no man lives alone. David went forth when his country was in peril and offered his life to protect all that we hold dear. He returned alive, but faced with the lifetime battle to regain a small portion of his happiness and hope for the future. Each of us, whether we are at the receiving end or the giving, is affected by what we do or what we leave undone. David Stern, his life reshaped by events, finds old relationships changing and new ones born. But with all this, he is learning to meet and accept the challenge of life, to make of it a meaningful existence, with a real desire, once again, to be a benefactor of society as well as a recipient. David cannot do this alone. It takes the doctors, the nurses, his family, his friends, and by no means least, those of us who step from the faceless world outside to reach in and help David recapture his goal of the full life. It is in the American tradition that volunteer organizations come into existence almost spontaneously because there is a need, and this in itself gives David and others like him strength. For just as he has learned that no one lives alone, he also now knows that he will not be alone. That is why a group of your fellow citizens have joined forces as the 52 Association and have made the pledge, "The wounded shall never be forgotten." There is still much to be done to enrich the lives of these men. There are hospital entertainment programs. There are jobs to be found. There are mind-soothing hobbies to be encouraged and rehabilitation aids that need support. The men and women of 52 give a little of their time to these men who have given their eyes, their arms, their legs, and so much of their lives for all America. At the end of the day, who's to say where the greatest reward lies? For you have given something that could not be sold and received that which could not be bought, the true gift of love of your fellow man.
Thank you, Mr. Frost. Our Eternal Light drama today, Icarus in a Wheelchair, was written by Virginia Mazur and was based in part on an unpublished manuscript, Companion in Flight, by Mrs. Eva Frost. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Robert Hastings, Marion Carr, Abby Lewis, Guy Repp, Patsy Bruder, Herb Duncan, Sam Raskin, and Ann Petoniak. The narrator, Alexander Skirby. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by Robert Sussman. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.